Hello, everyone. This is Luke John Louis, the host of the Deep Voice Man Show. Thanks for joining us today. We have a treat in store for you guys. Our guest is Cherie Dolan, and she is a certified award-winning information communications technology consultant at Select Communications, and she is a creative genius in her field. She works with firms to create solutions to best utilize their phones, internet, and web security. She helps to provide custom design solutions to cater to evolving business needs. And she is also a mother of four, and she knows four languages, French, English, Spanish, and sign language. So we're very fortunate to have her here. She's a very busy woman, so she was able to carve out some time in her packed schedule to sit down and have a chat with us. So we are very blessed. I guess to start off, again, thank you for coming on. And can you tell us about your background and how you first gravitated towards doing what you do today?
Well, thank you, Luke, for having me. I certainly do appreciate the opportunity to be on your show and speak to the many that are listening. It's a really odd way that I ended up in my field, honestly. And it was many, many paths that I had to take in order to get to where I'm at now. As I've been told many times, you know, sometimes it takes a lot of stepping stones to get to where you need to be. And I started off in technology at an early age, as a matter of fact. I was the girl that all the neighbors would call if they had computer issues.
Wow.
Which is, yeah, kind of funny. Grew up with technology growing at a rapid speed as well, and the neighbors were all getting their brand new computers, and unfortunately, sometimes things didn't go their way, and, hey, Cherie, can you come over and show me why this is doing this? But I've always loved talking with folks, and I've always loved doing volunteer work and helping others. So what I do now, it just comes full circle for me. I have the capabilities of helping businesses find the best solutions for everything their business needs technology-wise to operate, whether it be phones, internet, web security, cloud hosting solutions, you name it. I work with over 250 different vendors in different genres. So it's so unique what we do. I have the capabilities of having ample trainings and certification classes thrown at me all the time. Big advocate for that as well.
Wow. That's amazing. And thank you so much for sharing your story. So it's interesting, as a kid, you had a knack for technology, and people came to you and said, hey, can you fix my computer?
I thought it was funny, too, that I ended up here.
Well, that's wonderful that you sort of knew what you wanted to do at or you had that kind of interest at a young age. And for so many people, they don't quite know what they want to do at that point in time. But, you know, you sort of figured out what your talents are and what you're good at. And you sort of currently kind of work in that field, so to speak. And it's interesting. Now, you said before that you took many paths and there were several different stepping stones and whatnot. You didn't realize you would end up doing what you're doing right now specifically, I'm guessing.
Had no idea.
Right.
Didn't even know this world existed.
Wow. That's amazing. And, and obviously with technology, it's weird because a lot of people are doing things with technology that, working in certain jobs that didn't really exist when they were a child. So, for example, I'm a podcaster, and when I was young, I was born in the 80s, podcasts didn't exist. I couldn't say, hey, when I grow up, I want to host a podcast. So,
right.
Technology is weird that way. It evolves in so many different ways that it creates these new fields and these new opportunities that didn't exist and whatnot. So I guess definitely not unusual. It's interesting, and you work with a lot of different firms. You said hundreds of firms in different industries, and what you do is unique. So essentially what you're doing, there's not a lot of other people doing it. It's just a few, so to speak.
There are other companies out there that are doing what we do. They don't necessarily, and no hard feelings against them by any means, but they do their, they manage their business differently than we manage ours. We are really, really big about holding the customer's hand. A lot of times these businesses, we all know that you need internet and you need phones in order to operate a business these days. But a lot of businesses don't know who they can turn to find those solutions at a cost-effective rate. They see the billboards for all the big names out there. They see the commercials during the Super Bowl or during the NBA games and things like that for the big name companies. But there are so many other companies that provide more solutions that are going to be more cost-effective and cater to their business better. And they have no idea that they even exist.
Wow.
So it's really important what I do to bring that custom solution to them and show them and educate them on what is available.
Wow.
So, yeah, I really pride myself on that piece of it because I find it to be a very passionate thing for myself to be able to help businesses really have that I know what I'm buying. I know what it's going to do for my business and I'm not going to have to worry about it.
Right.
It's going to do what it needs to do. So.
That's amazing. And that's incredible. And obviously you could feel the passion in your voice.
Thanks,
it's amazing. And yes, and you know, entrepreneurs, obviously they know how to do that thing. They're obviously in business doing, let's say if they're a baker, they know how to bake. Or whatnot, but you know, obviously they may not know a lot of the technology stuff and marketing stuff, and so there's so many firms to help businesses, particularly small businesses, and whatnot. And you spoke about holding the customer's hand, and it reminds me of when you were a child, you were helping folks, neighbors, and whatnot, with their issues.
Exactly.
And there's a I guess there's a comparison or correlation there, but you provide cost effective solutions and whatnot, and you guys aren't out there with the commercials, so to speak, but I'm guessing you advertise more so with word of mouth and I guess going on podcasts, which I think is a great way for people to promote themselves, by the way.
Absolutely.
So that's amazing. So obviously you've helped a lot of entrepreneurs and firms. I'm curious though, how would you describe the current state of affairs with businesses, particularly small businesses? Obviously, we have the pandemic. What challenges has that posed, if any?
To be real honest with you, the pandemic just pushed a lot of businesses to making changes that really were necessity, but they didn't quite know it yet. So in our industry, a lot of those businesses have been reaching out. Hey, it's time for a change. We need to move everything into the cloud. Or, hey, we need to save money. You know, what can you do to help us out? Save money. And some of these smaller businesses, especially, you know, that could be a week's worth of salary for an employee to stay on staff or something of that sort. I recently had a client. They had three different locations and their internet costs were exuberant.
Wow.
And we were able to save them $1,000 off their internet bill a month.
Wow. That's amazing.
I mean, that is keeping a family afloat, possibly. You know,
wow.
I know $1,000 in general isn't a lot, but when you're talking a small business owner saving $12,000 a year, that's pretty substantial.
Yeah. I would imagine so. I consider that a lot.
I do too.
That's amazing. Wow. So they have to view you as sort of like their guardian angel, you know, sort of like their.
Oh, I don't know if I'm angelic necessarily, but it gives me great pride to know that I've been part of a solution like that, though. You know, being able to help businesses just during these tough times stay afloat or, you know, $1,000 a month, that could be PPE equipment for their employees to stay safe, you know. it's just really important to be able to offer that.
That's amazing. And obviously a lot of these business owners don't understand, you know, nor fully grasp the technology and the options out there. That's why folks like yourself are out there to educate them. I'm curious, you mentioned that the pandemic helped to accelerate trends that were already existing probably beforehand, or made people do things they were supposed to be doing anyway, regardless, but quicker. I think that's interesting. Obviously, a lot more entrepreneurs had to, you know, I guess, beef up their technology and whatnot, and the pandemic made them understand that more. So you teach entrepreneurs about certain things with the, I think you mentioned the cloud, which is great. And
well, it gives versatility is ultimately at the end of the day is what it was. Nobody ever anticipated that we would be in quarantine and people would have to work from home.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of businesses had a good old fashioned desktop phone sitting on their desk at their office in their cubicles. And people went to work, and that's what we did day in and day out. Your internet was at your office. Your phones were at your office. So when the pandemic hit, a lot of businesses had already transitioned to the cloud and to voice over IP. But the ones that hadn't, it was quite a struggle for them to find the right solution and make it cost effective. And they had to scramble. They didn't know who to turn to. And so they were reaching out and needing a quick solution that they could put into effect very, very fast that gave them redundancy. So even if we do go back to the office, they can work from their office environment still. If we're working from home, they can work from home and still have that connectivity.
Yeah. And that actually brings me to our next question. And thank you for that. So obviously now we have this, this hybrid model of both working remotely and working at the office. I'm curious, where do you see things exactly going in the future? And where do you see yourself in that future?
I will be here holding everybody's hand still. I work from home. I am a remote worker regardless. We have within our company at Select, we have several different advisors all over the country. And we don't stop in just the United States. We help folks in Canada. We help folks in Mexico and even over in Europe. So we, as far as everybody else going back to the office, the changes that have been made will be successful going forward. It's not going to affect those who have already started working from the from home to be able to go back into the office, because the correlation between the two will be so similar, and it'll just be a change of environment.
Wow, that's amazing. So what you're describing might be a new normal, because obviously there'll be a world where the pandemic goes away for the most part, hopefully sooner rather than later with the ramped up
distribution
of vaccine. So, but things will never go back to the way things were exactly before pre-pandemic.
Right.
It'll be sort of like a new normal. So we'll see an increased rate of people working from home and working remotely. You'll still see people working at the office, but less so, perhaps. And apparently, there are studies showing that people are actually more productive and work harder when they're working from home or work longer, which is interesting. And so, and obviously, there's a lot of savings of time and money, particularly less commuting, and also less money spent on, you know, having to rent out an office building and whatnot.
Real estate.
Yeah, with the real estate cost. I'm curious now, you've obviously helped a lot of people and whatnot, and but you mentioned before that there's a lot of firms that do something similar, not exactly what you guys do. If you can just kind of expound on that, what exactly is that that competitive advantage that, you know, makes you guys so different? It makes you guys maybe the sole person in the arena that does what you guys do and perhaps makes you guys better than some of the competition?
Absolutely. We have a fearless leader named Jerry, and he is adamant about education. And I find that to be amazing. And that's part of the reason that I work with them, is the fact that we are constantly inundating ourselves with more education. Mm-hmm. Every time there is a change, every time a vendor has updated a platform, we are on a call, we are on a webinar, we are learning constantly, we are getting certifications. Just this year alone with our master agent, Solaris, we are going to be getting 3 different certifications. One of these is a recertification for myself, but we're doing a UCAS, a Unified Communications course. These classes, they are amazing. I would not wish them on anybody if it is not prepared, because they are extensive. They are intense.
Wow.
There is so much information. I think that balling each one of these courses into the equivalent of college years, it's like one college year with 2 sets of heavy exams balled into 2 days of education.
Are you serious?
And I am serious. I am serious. And it is putting your feet to the grindstone, putting your nose to the grindstone, and just really going after it. And those of us that are passionate about what we do are, I dive straight in, you know, you have to learn what is out there and what's available. So I have a UCAS training course, and I have a web security course, which I'm super excited about, because I'm super passionate about securing companies and providing vendors that can provide that level of security that they may need, or compliancy. And then we have a contact center training course. That's the one I'll be getting recertified in. And that right there is amazing, because when you think about contact center environments, you think of cubicles lined up. You know, everybody is at their desk. Everybody has their headset on. Everybody is sitting there doing, you know, what they need to be doing, making their calls, all that kind of stuff. That changed with COVID. You can't sit next to anybody. You can't have that contact center environment. And these vendors adjusted their platforms to accommodate. Now, some of them were already doing it. So they just tweaked it a little bit. But businesses don't understand that that technology exists. You can still have a contact center environment. You can still manage a contact center environment, and your staff can be at home.
Wow. That's amazing. And
and
what you just described is a bit on the insane side, but I see why it works. I see definitely why it works. So, again, you mentioned that you guys have a fearless leader, Jerry, who's innovative, right? And he does things differently from maybe others. And he makes, I'm guessing he's like the CEO of the firm or the founder.
He is, yes. And what makes him different from most out there is he's right there with us in the training courses.
Wow. So he's in the trenches with you guys. That's great.
He absolutely is. Yep.
And that's amazing. Wow. And so I think he's an incredible leader, and he is investing in his people, in making investments in education. Obviously it's expensive for him to do that, but he sees it for what it is, something that, you know, he's a deposit, but that'll return him great interest, so to speak. And so my understanding is that these courses, you said that it's one college year and some exams thrown in within 2 days, which scares the hell out of me.
It is scary. Some of the courses are 2 days. Some of the courses are 3 days. But it is so much information. Oh, man.
Yeah.
When you walk out of those courses, though, you feel accomplished.
Okay. I can imagine. Yeah.
So there is that.
Yeah, of course, because after at least 4 days, you feel like you've graduated from two different colleges already. Probably
right.
Into graduate school.
Exactly. I feel like I'm a doctor or something.
That is, I can only imagine. And obviously that saves a lot of time. Obviously you can cram it within 2 days, of course, without, I'm guessing, it being stretched out. And you also have to hire very smart people to begin with. So there's that aspect of it. And I'm curious. Now, obviously, this makes sense to have this constant education because technology is always changing and evolving. it's interesting. You know, every year we hear about all these new apps, new platforms. I think this year we have, Clubhouse, TikTok, and it looks like they're here to stay. So everything with that world is just always changing and evolving and trends going in and out of fashion and whatnot. So I could totally understand why the constant need for education. But doing that also puts you on the guys on the cutting edge. And it gives,
absolutely.
I think with Jerry, right. It gives, I think with Jerry, he's investing so much in education, helps to give you guys that competitive advantage and give you guys that leg up while other, you know, leaders and founders may be a little reticent to spend all that much money on education. He's
right.
willing to make those investments. It reminds me of a lot of sports analogies, but I won't go into it.
He understands the importance of making our customers, our clients, feel comfortable with our levels of education. When we sit down with clients and we're having those conversations of what is it that you want your phone system or your internet or your infrastructure to do for your business, our clients know, okay, well, they've been educated in this and they're going to be able to help me.
Right.
Having that level of confidence is all that matters.
And that's amazing. So it's all about putting the customer first, making
Absolutely.
Sure that the customer is comfortable. And you know, it's so many, I think, business leaders have it backwards. I think that they need to understand that the customer comes first and that the customer is taken care of and you make the investments. It just comes back to you.
Well, and when you're investing in your employees, your customers are guaranteed to come first. You
Definitely.
Know? So it really does go hand in hand.
Wow. It's such a simple philosophy, but it's not often followed by leaders, entrepreneurs, unfortunately. And so hopefully, you know, going forward, that tends to be the case. And I'm curious, obviously you guys have helped out a lot of folks and businesses and whatnot. Can you tell us any of the most moving or entertaining stories from your life or career?
Oh, boy. So many. I've had a very interesting life, personally. So there would be way too much to tell in that, to be real
sure.
honest with you. I could probably write a book about it, and people still wouldn't believe it, to be real honest. But
wow.
career-wise, I've had a couple of opportunities where I have worked with businesses and I've brought solutions to the table. And guess what? They didn't end up going with me right away. And then their DMARC, where they house all of their internet circuits and all their equipment, catches fire.
Right.
And this has happened. This is a true story.
Wow.
Caught fire, exploded, essentially.
Wow.
And
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and all it was is somebody else came in and did a job and didn't do it correctly. And I was the first call that customer made. And we were able to get in there and we were able to save their environment. And we were able to bring them back up to speed, get their internet back up and going, provide them better quality phone services. And, that's what it's all about.
Wow.
For me personally, anyways, is
wow.
being able to be that phone call, you know, at the end of the day, I'm here to assist businesses.
Wow. That's amazing. And obviously you don't want to have a fire.
No,
that's
no. But when you're,
big problem.
It was a really kind of crazy turn of events that happened, and ultimately their internet was pulled in, and their power was pulled in, not like new construction, but the older construction on power lines. And a dump truck actually took out that power line, it sent a surge into the building. Well, the previous vendor had dropped their Cat 5 cables for their phone system in right next to copper lines. And the copper lines actually, when that surge came through, the copper lines caught fire. Wow. And it sent it all the way back to the DMARC. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, it was a bit of a nightmare for the customer, but at the end of the day, we were able to just really help them out, and they were very, very happy.
Wow. Yeah. You have to have been
crazy story.
Yeah. It sounds nuts, but you guys were to come to the rescue, so that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding is that folks have were the ones who told you no in the beginning and went with someone else, or
They hadn't made a move yet for the phone system. They were still contemplating some phone system ideas. They were still in contract. We had to get a little creative with them to help them out and move them forward. But it definitely expedited the situation. That's for sure.
Yeah, I can only imagine. But thankfully, you guys were able to come in and put them at ease, and they were able to, of course, bounce back and whatnot.
Absolutely.
So the story has a happy ending, which is great.
Yep. It was a very happy ending.
It's interesting. You talked about how you've lived an interesting life, that you could write a book. Just so you know, one of the questions I always give people is if they're ever going to write a book, and I guess I can give it to you now, about their life. If I just want to tell you, if you do write that book, I would definitely buy it. I'd be the first person in line. So if you do,
I don't know if you'd believe all the stories, though. I'm telling you.
All right. Interesting. So
yeah.
That makes me more curious, by the way. But it's curious. Now, obviously, you guys, I think you alluded to this before, you don't do the whole, you know, spending big money on commercials and Super Bowl ads and whatnot. And I'm guessing you guys rely a lot on referrals and word of mouth, so to speak.
We do. Yes.
Which is amazing.
Yes. I think that, I have a vast background in marketing. My degree is real estate marketing, actually. And word of mouth is still king of the castle. You know, people do rely on other people's opinions. I mean, we go to Amazon and we're about to purchase something. I look at every single one of the reviews most of the time to make sure, you know, it is what it says it is and it's going to do what it's going to do. And that's very, very true in the technology space. You know, technology is a very kind of a sacred thing. You don't want somebody who doesn't have experience and doesn't have the knowledge or know-how touching your technology and your business.
Right, right.
So word of mouth is still king. And yes, we do operate very, very nicely off of referrals. I love getting referrals. It's a compliment.
Yeah. And, you know, they say that's the best way to do it, obviously. For a lot of business owners, they love to get to the point where they're mostly, if not solely, relying on referrals. And one thing that can help with that is obviously networking and building relationships. We met on LinkedIn, a networking platform and whatnot. And
we did.
Right. And I'm curious, what networking advice would you have for folks? And it doesn't just apply to just entrepreneurs, but this could be for job hunters, you know, people who are unemployed looking for work, or who are employed but want to find a better job, or realizing no job is secure, so they still want to find out what's going on in the job market. What tips would you give people when it comes to networking?
Be human.
Mm-hmm.
That honestly, I feel like that's the number one thing. We all get emails. We all get connection requests.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, are you really a person who truly cares? about somebody that you're trying to link up with or connect to, or are you a robot? Right. The more that we actually present ourselves as a human being and, you know, care about the person or care about the business that we're working with, the more people are going to be more inclined to be and be drawn to you. And that's where the network begins.
Wow. And I think that's great.
Create a connection.
That's wonderful. It's like making friends, so to speak.
Yeah, that's essentially that's how I connect with everybody. Awesome. You know, I was a Girl Scout back in my days for 13 years. I graduated out of Girl Scouts, and we had a thing that we had a song we would sing called "Make New Friends, but Keep the Old." And you know, I'm applying it to my life. Everybody in your life, every connection you make has some significance in some way at some time and can create an impact.
That's
it's
wonderful.
Just finding it at the time when it's right.
And that's amazing advice, to be human, to truly care and whatnot. And obviously there are people, and this happens in online networking and offline, you know, networking in face-to-face where people just sell on the first handshake. And obviously, I think that's not the best way to do it. It's about building relationships. And, you know, I do a lot of reading on networking. And in one of the books by Chet Holmes, Ultimate Sales Machine, great book, he talks about how very few people buy what you're selling when you first approach them. They essentially will buy it when they're ready, let's say a year or two from now, and they have that issue and they think of you because of the relationship you've built, and you know, then they reach out to you if you obviously continue
100%.
Right.
I 100% agree.
Yeah. And so many people don't understand that. And I think if more people did understand that, they would have more success. And
I think if more people understood it, less people would be getting hung up on.
Right.
You know, back when I first started in industry, I actually started as a cold caller appointment setter. That's how I started. And as I learned the industry and learned about the technology, I developed and advanced into the position I'm in today. And the amount of people hanging up on you is vast. But if you're having a conversation, essentially, then that conversation develops into the relationship. And that's where it is. They might not need your help right now, but eventually they will. Eventually that contract's going to expire, and they're going to remember, hey, this one person reached out to me, and they were really cool. I liked what they had going on. This is what they do, you know? So that's where it is. It's not, hey, guess what? I do this and you should always call me first. I should be your first phone call. You know, that's not helping anybody.
It sounds very self-serving and it just doesn't sound pleasant at all. And I definitely agree with you that networking, you know, warm market referrals, it beats out cold calling any day of the week. I used to do cold calling and hated it. Not enjoyable at all. But there are some people who are good at it. I don't want to knock it too much, but
you know, some people are really good at it, and I'm not horrible at it myself, to be honest. But you know, there's something to be said about it. If you take it in a positive light, you know, you're meeting somebody new every single day, every single time you pick up the phone. And that could be a positive experience or it could be a negative experience. But at the end of the day, you just met somebody new. How cool is that? How many people can say that, especially in the environment we're in today, in quarantine typed environments, that they met 20 some new people? You know?
Yeah. So that is an amazing part of it. Obviously, you get to with the phone. Particularly, it's so easy to meet, you know, new person after new person by dialing, smiling and dialing, so to speak. So there is something to it. And it's interesting that I actually started this podcast for primarily as a way to build relationships and networking. I got the advice from books I read by Steve Gordon to do the podcast and interview folks, and it's definitely been working well for me. That's why I recommend to everyone to get a podcast, or to be guests on podcasts like what you're doing right now. And so, yeah, definitely something that more people should look into and whatnot. And so, you know, again, and so many people
fun
are
to have a conversation.
Right. and it's podcasting, I think, is great, particularly for networking. And the other reason I started a podcast, this is secondary, is because so many people complimented me in my voice and they said I should do something with it. So and here you go. So.
I think I actually was one of those people.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that, right? Yeah, when we first spoke.
Yes.
Thank you so much for that. And
absolutely.
It's interesting. Now, you talked about how individuals should be human and not robotic. It's funny how a lot of people actually on LinkedIn do actually use, a robot, or do use automation. And apparently they actually get kicked off the platform from LinkedIn. So definitely not the way to go. You definitely want to be human. And I love the Girl Scout song, how to, you know, you have to make friends and keep the old ones. It's funny how you learn all these things, these basic truths as a child, or perhaps even in kindergarten. And
you can apply them. Yeah, they still apply. They still apply. That's absolutely true.
And thank you again for that advice. I'm curious, what advice would you give to someone? Because here's the thing. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. Obviously, you help a lot of businesses, small businesses and whatnot. Most businesses fail within the first couple of years. And I was curious, what advice would you give to entrepreneurs, if you were anyone who's thinking about being an entrepreneur, what should they do to succeed, and how should we turn these stats around?
I think ultimately, yes, it's more of a challenge now than it's ever been to start a new business. But the bonus to that is there are so many great marketing SEO management companies out there. I actually work with one that does technology-based. They work with all types of businesses, but they help business owners, new business owners, old business owners that want to strum up business with their marketing aspects in a technologically advanced way. Through email notifications and chat notifications, things of that nature. The technology is there in order to get the word out about your business. So I think that pairing with the right technology advisor can really, really, really benefit a business that's just starting out. Finding somebody that's just as passionate about your business and what you've got going on is also key.
Okay. And I think that's amazing advice. Obviously, it's challenging to do it now, you're saying, but the upside is that there's so many different marketing firms out there, people like yourself and others who work in SEO and whatnot. And there's so many different ways to market and so many different firms you can try to hook up with that can help you to spread the word of your business and whatnot. And that it is something that a lot of business owners should look into. I think that's great advice. I'm curious, what advice would you give to someone who thinks what you're doing is interesting? They're into technology and whatnot, and they want to do what Cherie is doing. What tips would you give them?
That's a loaded question. Because our industry, our industry, because of the layers, the many layers that there are, a lot of the companies that do what I do, I was very blessed to be brought into the industry. A lot of other business owners utilize family members that have just been around it their entire lives to come work for them. But learn as much as you possibly can. about the vendors that are out there. Education is key. Ultimately, at the end of the day, education is key. If you want to work for a vendor, learn everything you can about that vendor. Learn the platform. If you want to work, like, do exactly what Sheree does, for instance, then learn about all of the vendors. Get plugged in. Find out about different events that may be going on in your area that you can go and get an additional layer of education.
Okay. Amazing. Thank you so much for that. So in a nutshell, they should obviously get educated, put information in their minds, learn about vendors, the different types of technologies and platforms and whatnot. I think that's great advice. And so it's interesting. Obviously, what you guys do at Select Communications is very unique. There isn't really any other firm that sort of does that, so to speak, does what you guys do, the way you guys do it. And this is usually the time when I give folks a question, you know, if an entrepreneur is looking for something that you guys offer, but let's say you guys aren't available, let's say you guys are on vacation, or you guys are your guys are hands full with so many clients, but they need help with technology, what should they do? Should they still try to reach out to you guys because what you guys offer is so unique, or should they try to find a technology firm available that meshes well with them?
They should definitely reach out to us. Our firm operates 24/7, 365.
Okay.
I am always readily available via text, actually, via email, via LinkedIn. And so we will always respond to anybody reaching out for our technology needs. Now, if I personally have a caseload going on or by chance, I am in an area geographically that isn't perfect for them, then I have another teammate reach out to them. If they're already a client of ours, they know firsthand that we have a whole team of project managers that assist everyone. And so they always have that capability of reaching out to us. And then we can reach out to their vendor on their behalf and usually get the problem resolved a lot faster because of the relationships that we have developed with the vendors.
Wow.
So that's another bonus to working with us as opposed to going at it alone. Because when you go at it alone, guess what? You're picking up the phone and you're calling those big name companies and you're waiting on hold for 3 hours probably and trying to convey what's going on to somebody over the phone who's not seeing what's going on or doesn't know or understand the nature of your business. And you may or may not get the problem resolved. You know, they may send out a technician in 2 weeks.
Wow.
To come look at it. So I think that that's a value asset for sure.
Wow, that's amazing. And the idea of waiting on hold for 3 hours is something I wouldn't be able to do for a technician who comes in 2 weeks.
Yes.
I don't have the patience for that.
It happens. It happens. I know. I don't agree with it either. So. And what's unique, too, about our business is we do have a variety of staff. So, you know, there are some female-owned businesses that actually only want to work with females.
Wow.
And just so happens, we have female staff available.
Wow.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes. So, and vice versa, you know.
Okay.
So generally speaking, you know, there are organizations out there, female-owned business owners, you know, that maybe it's part of their bylaws or something of that sort that, you know, they want to work with a female or maybe they feel more comfortable, you know. So we do have that readily available to them as well.
Okay. And that's amazing. I'm all for actually female empowerment. I have two sisters, one older and one younger, and they put me to shame. They're very entrepreneurial. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, and things are progressing a lot on that front. Obviously, we have our – regardless of where, you know, people's political beliefs or stances are, we have our first woman vice president, woman of color.
We do.
Yeah, and that's amazing. Just in and of itself, that's great history. Obviously, we still have progress to go on that front, I guess, when it comes to gender equality and women being respected as equals in the business world. But a lot of progress has definitely been made. I guess I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. Coming up in your industry and whatnot, and the path you've taken with the different stepping stones and whatnot, have you ever experienced sexism or discrimination in your journey, or has it been a problem and or whatnot or not?
Oh, it's been a problem. there's a stigma around women in technology. We're changing it. We're changing it. Women have come together. I'm part of a great group of women called the Alliance of Channel Women. And these women are powerful voices in our industry. There have been times, I recently had a client I was working with who it may not be that he was possibly being sexist. Maybe he just didn't like me. I don't see how that's possible because I feel like I'm very fun. But he ended up, I got a quote for him for a vendor. And he had a male quoted out and told me that he found somebody else to work with him. And it's part of that stigma. And I don't know, for a long, long time in technology, your IT directors and your IT professionals were all men. The stigma was women didn't know, they weren't educated enough. They didn't understand. But that's changing. With STEM projects and STEM programs out there, I feel like women are finally getting the respect in our industry that we really deserve because we do the trainings. We pay attention. We're organized. We're really going for it, I think a lot of me being a mom of four has prepared me for that even.
Wow.
Being able to be organized for my clients and be able to learn and know how to put things first is really something that maybe not being sexist myself, but maybe not something that a man necessarily understands because, the stigma was men work and women stay at home with kids for so long.
Wow.
So, obviously COVID's changed that quite a bit too, because, we have that versatility.
Right.
But it's been interesting.
I can only imagine.
I've had people in my industry even tell me that, you're not going to be able to do that.
Wow.
You're not going to be able to. Yeah. And it motivates me, honestly, because if you're going to tell me I can't do something, I'm going to try even harder to do it and prove you wrong.
I love that.
Yeah.
And, you find that in a lot of successful people like Michael Jordan. He loved when people doubted him. He'd have the newspaper clipping of it in his locker.
Well, and he didn't even make the basketball team in junior high school.
Right.
And it took him until high school. They finally realized, this kid actually can play.
Right.
So,
It's amazing. So thank you so much for that, for sharing what you shared. I'm all for women getting into the business world because I also think, not to be sexist, that women, I think, and most men would agree, that women bring a certain moral superiority. They operate at a higher ethical plane, I think, than men do. And I think that when women are involved, the average morality goes up, of course. And I think there's something definitely to that. And obviously you did this while you were a mother of four. I don't know how that's done. You made it happen. You did it. And so that's incredible. And, it's interesting. Obviously people are working home. No problem. Obviously you work from home. Maybe that wasn't always the case, but the pandemic, I think, is helping a lot of working parents. working moms, mm-hmm. since they can help raise the kids and work a full-time job. So that's, a silver lining from all this. You're seeing more and more
absolutely.
Of that being an option. And so
I like the idea of being more present for my children.
Right.
And not being away from home as much. You know, I recently changed companies, and the very mm-hmm. reason, I spent 5 hours a week driving.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Just driving by myself. And when you're spending any kind of amount of time in a car, and I know there are others out there that spend far less time driving or far greater time driving,
mm-hmm.
but that time could be spent in so many other ways, and time is valuable, you know? So if I'm spending those 5 hours a week focusing on homework with my kids, because I'm already home at, you know, dinner time, or we're in the kitchen preparing dinner, you know, that changes the environment.
Right. Absolutely.
So
I totally agree. And that's the reason why I want to work from home. I want to have a sort of laptop lifestyle or similar to where I could travel the world. And that's my dream. And when I do start a family, I can be there for the kids and not, you know, driving for 5 hours. I've heard worse than that, believe, actually. So 5 hours a week is actually not too bad. I've heard.
No, it's not.
Yeah, but even though it's not best, but I heard one guy I interviewed, he said he would drive 2 hours to and from work, which is crazy. And just insane. So, and I believe that may have negative health effects when people have to commute that long as well. So it's something people mm-hmm. Really need to consider and whatnot. So it obviously there's a lot of discrimination with women against women in technology because of old stereotypes and tropes. But I'm glad that things are changing. And I think a lot of the women who worked in technology in the past are being recognized. We see movies like Hidden Figures and buildings being named after particularly women of color who worked in NASA and the space agency and whatnot. And so that's amazing and whatnot.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's incredible. So definitely I believe things will change for the better in the future. And so I guess moving on, I'm a little curious or somewhat very curious. You've mentioned a lot of important life lessons, and I'm curious if you can share with us, in addition to the ones you mentioned, life lessons that you learned yourself or from others. This applies not just to entrepreneurs, but to everyone.
I think a lot of it is summed up in it's okay not to be apologetic. When you are making positive changes in your life, it's okay not to be apologetic. You don't have to apologize for everything, and it's okay sometimes to say no.
Mm-hmm.
So many people are the yes movement. You know, we mm-hmm. have to agree to everything, and we have to bend over backwards and do, but it's okay to say no. There are times mm-hmm. that you don't have the answer, and it's okay.
Right.
To say, I don't have the answer, but I may have the connection that'll help you with that answer.
Mm.
So I think that that's the biggest thing. And then as far as my children are concerned, I can't preach enough to be yourself. Be yourself. Find who you are. Find who you like to be and be that person. Because there are so many motivators out there these days. Everybody wants to be a Instagram YouTube star.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? We're not all Instagram YouTube stars. We're not designed to be that. Some of us are designed to be doctors. Some of us are designed to be policemen. Some of us are designed to be teachers. So being yourself is okay.
Mm.
So that I think is my advice I'd throw out there in the universe.
That's amazing advice. The idea of being yourself, being authentic to who you are, not trying to be someone else. And It ties back to something I was reading in a book, that if it's important to know what your gifts and talents are and see what you can make of them and see if you can parlay them into something that obviously can make you money or you can have a pleasurable life doing. Obviously, mm-hmm. you grew up and you like technology, you had a passion for it, a gift for it, and you're doing something related to that field or in that field, so to speak. And mm-hmm. I think that's amazing. And it's so important for people to be themselves and not try to be something that others want them to be. You know, they actually did a survey of older people in a hospice who were close to dying, and one of their biggest regrets was that they lived the life that others wanted them to live and not the life they wanted to live. So I think there is
exactly.
something to that. Right. To do you, as they say, or be yourself.
Yep.
And you also mentioned the idea of not being apologetic, that it's okay to say no. Interestingly, a lot of successful people actually share this major success principle, the idea of saying no to others and refusing requests and whatnot. Definitely something to that. And you mentioned telling people that you don't know something and not trying to, I guess, BS them or whatnot, but you can
yeah.
try to get the information for them, right, or redirect
right.
them somewhere else. I think
yeah.
that's so important.
You can only know so much of what you know.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you can't help somebody out, don't help them out. Just find
right.
them the person that can. You know, if
yeah.
you have a resource, provide the resource, but don't sit there and waste somebody's time.
Definitely. And that shows integrity. It shows posture. It makes the other person like you even more, respect you even more. You know, you're not desperate and trying to tell them whatever they want to hear.
I believe so.
Right. Definitely agree with that wholeheartedly. Again, thank you so much for that. I'm curious, what book recommendations do you have for folks?
Oh, book recommendations. I'm an article reader, not so much a book reader, but mm-hmm. I do have a book that I received as a gift with Alliance of Channel Women, and had the pleasure of hearing this woman speak, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm going to butcher her last name, but her name is JJ. JJ D. Germaro. Anyways,
mm-hmm.
it's spelled D-I-G-E-R-O-N-I-M-O. And it's labeled as a playbook for professional women.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Accelerate Your Impact. And
mm-hmm.
in the book, she gives you strategies on how to pave a professional path.
Wow.
It can be scary, you know, because of the stigmas that I had mentioned earlier, to know exactly how we are supposed to behave as women that are professionals.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like this book has really been a very good motivator with regards to that.
Wow. Definitely going to check that out. First, I've heard of her. And
oh, yeah,
good.
And I butchered her last name.
No worries. I usually search for books by title anyway, so
there
that's
go.
Okay. And definitely going to check that out. I want to thank you so much for that. And by the way, I think we talked about this earlier. Are you ever going to write a book yourself, even though people won't perhaps believe the stories, even though they're true?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, actually, when you were talking earlier, because I've considered it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've jotted down some notes, and I've actually had a conversation with my mom, even,
mm-hmm.
about writing a book, because I feel like I've got so many stories to tell, and it could be
mm-hmm.
so motivational in some regards.
Mm-hmm.
And then also just to have that shock factor of, oh my gosh, she did what? So, because I have experienced so many things that people would be like, there's just no way.
Right.
You know, but I don't know. Maybe if I had a ghostwriter or something like that could help me out with a book, then I would write it. But having four kids, a full-time job, and being able to focus on my clients, in
mm-hmm.
my career, is kind of taking up a lot of time these days.
No problem.
Totally get that. If you ever do write that book, I'll definitely be the first person online. So you have at least one customer. You have to start somewhere.
Well, thank you.
Yes. And I would definitely read it. You could obviously, if not an autobiography, perhaps you can write a book about technology or personal development or something on along those lines. Perhaps it'd be shorter and whatnot. And,
there you go.
Something to consider, just throwing that out there. And I guess I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. I think you'd also make a great podcast host. and have you ever
well,
thought about
you,
that?
Well, thank you, Luke.
Yeah.
I haven't until you said that, actually. I think that would be super fun. I have so many interests. I don't know if I would necessarily stick with technology or cooking or, you know, gardening,
mm-hmm.
animals. Mm-hmm. I have lots of pets. So that could be a lot of fun.
All
I would have to consider that as well.
No problem. And because Seth Godin, he's like a major marketing guru, bald-headed, wears glasses. He says that everyone... Yeah, he says everyone should have a podcast and that podcasting is the new blogging. Just throwing that out there. But, you know, obviously it takes
nudge,
time.
Nudge.
Yes. And but you're busy. And that also takes time as well, similar to like writing a book. So, it's you know, obviously not everyone can do that. But in but what you can do is definitely if you can be a guest on more shows, I think that could even be better. So definitely going to introduce you to some other, podcast hosts, and whatnot. So,
well, I appreciate that.
You got it. I'm going to get on that. And so again, thank you so much. This has actually been a very enlightening and educational and entertaining conversation. Thank you for coming on and, thank you to the audience for listening. Can you go ahead and describe all the ways people can get in touch with you if they want to use or if they know someone who could use your services or to put a dynamic center of influence in their network?
Absolutely. I am on LinkedIn almost every single day. So that is probably the best way to reach out to me. My LinkedIn is under Cherie Dolan at CHERIDOLAN. And I also can be reached at via email, and that's C.Dolan@selectcommunications.com.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for that. And the information you just provided will be listed in the episode description section so people can see it and read it there. All right.
Excellent.
And you got it. Again, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show as a guest and for this wonderful discussion. And thank you to the audience for listening. I'm going to see you guys in the next episode. Do you have any last word or final send-off you want to tell folks? Or?
No, I absolutely appreciate the opportunity to be here. And feel free to reach out to me with any questions that anyone may have.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And again, I'm going to see you guys in the next episode. Everyone have a wonderful, blessed day. And take care. And bye-bye.
Thanks, Luke.
You got it. Hey guys, before you go, just real quick, if you can just do me a favor, if you can head over to the Apple Podcast app, and if you're not there already, and if you can leave me a 5-star review, that would be great. If you love the show, if you can just go ahead and do that, and that will help to spread the word about the show, and other people can enjoy the show as much as you do. And so if you can do that, that would mean the world to me. And also, if you want to email me with any feedback or any praise or support, please feel free to go ahead and do that. And you can also email me to request to be put on our email list. So we can send you out emails when new episodes come out. So thank you very much for being a fan of the show. Thank you for listening to the show and supporting the show. So if you can do that, go out and give us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. That would be great. And if you can email us so we can put you on the email list and email us with feedback and praise, that would be amazing. Thank you so much, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.